put on some kind of culture. Well, during the month of November, I think it is, that we usually has people ask us to go and speak. It's maybe during that time the kids mm-hmm. can do something about their culture. And I was talking about as far as going into the schools and as a librarian, if we can get show or make a display with our kids working after school and put it in the library. So I didn't do that last year, but I hope to do it this year.
What would be the ratio in the public school here between Indian and non-Indian children, do you know?
I guess about 1/4 of us are Indians.
That's quite a bit.
I think so. In the elementary it is.
Yeah.
But in middle school, not too much. In high school, very few.
Where do the high school kids go to school?
Hollywood Hills.
Is that because they dropped out or just because it's so much
It seems
bigger?
Like that's what's happening is we have a lot of dropout after middle school. Mm-hmm. So we've been working with those kids also, hoping that, you know, they continue. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then I work closely also with the education program. And it's Parents Advisory Committee. I'm on that. Try to see if we can bring a tutor in service and all that.
What is the reason for dropout?
We wish we knew, but we really don't know what it is, and not really has anybody come in, you know, from our side and try to, evaluate, you know, what the situation is. But it seems like we do have a lot of dropout, and we just have a few kids finishing school.
What happens to the young people? Do they have work when they get out, or do they have to really hunt around to try and find something to do?
Yeah, that's what most of them is they just go from one job to a job, or they just don't work at all. Live off the grandparents or the parents. So sometimes that's not too good. Mm-hmm.
If you're an Indian and you're working, do you pay taxes on?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
But not if you're working on the reservation.
Yeah, we still do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we still do pay taxes. The only thing we don't pay taxes on the land we live on. That's the only thing. But it's not really our land. It's federal land. So that's the only thing we don't pay. Everything we pay for.
Do you own your house and not the land, or you own the land and the house?
Well, we borrowed the money from the government to build the house on reservation. So after we pay it out, it'll be ours, but the land won't be ours. Because when you make so much income, you can't borrow from FHA because it's on a federal land. So we have to go to a special government loans to get a house bill. But today those HUD houses and so on, I think they allow 10% even you make so much income. Before that, we had to borrow money from the bank, but to them that was a loss to them. Mm-hmm. Trailer they will do, because they can always come in and take the trailer off the lot. Mm-hmm. But houses, we had a hard time doing it. So unless it's movable, they loan you the money.
Has bingo made a change in the economy, I guess the lifestyle for the Indians?
I think so. I think it has. Like I was talking about, the program I'm working in, I won't be working, but we have some money income from that. So
will go to education?
Yes, So we're working under that. Like I said, they made a cut back. Because we have to this year, but without it, I won't be working, and or other people won't be working, you know, doing what we want to do, because we couldn't get state funds to do the culture program. So we had to rely on our own resource. So we're doing that. And then, and like the health camp I'm talking about, that was also the monies from the, if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have able to do that. And then we get so much money a month, but we don't get it every 3 months, so that's a little bit of income that comes in that we can use. And some parents takes advantage of it, because that's what they have to use to buy school clothes and all that. And me, I put it in savings for my kids for their later use. So we do. It has improved a lot.
So what, you look upon that money as help for their future education?
Yes, I do. That's their use.
So. With the cultural program, what is the main, your stated, like, main purpose? Is it for the kids to get a sense of place, or is it to eventually be able to work into an economic, use this economically, or?
I think basically is the Indians and their background is something that they shouldn't be ashamed of, they should be proud of what they are, where they're from. Even they are, they still can, like I said, they can achieve in the mainstream, which they call a white man's world, but they're all different kind of people. But that's what's moving, that's how we're gonna survive today, to understand that. And then basically that they won't lose their language. And some of the things that that we have that they can use today, even medicine. I hope that someone will go back and start learn how to use some of the medicines that our man knows, because some are really good. And to me, that's that was way of God's letting our men or people know how to take care of themselves and help themselves by using herbs and all that. So I like for them to know that. And I said, hopefully some of our young people will go back and learn that. And also it's teaching our kids how to sew and all that. So I guess later they can become a seamster or a craft person. They can make a living on that. I see it that way also. They just learn how to do it, because some of ladies that knows how to make this, how to make good living out of it. And we're going to have arch and craft. We're going to sell our culture and sell our craft. Some people's going to have to know how to do them. So I feel like we have them in that part. So it won't be Japan, Mank, or so on. So I think that those kind of skills they will use. Because even when I was going to junior college, I know how to make medallions and bracelets, so I survived on that one. Because the grants I get wasn't enough,
Yeah.
Enough for me to pay the bills and everything, but if I want to spend, have some spending money, I had to make those. So I think that's a good skill for a woman to know. Maybe you can become a housewife, you can do that at home. That's what I was doing before I started working.
Where did you go to college?
BCC in Miami-Dade.
Miami-Dade?
Uh-huh. I finished it there. I just finished 2 years, that's all.
What did you study?
I took early childhood. I got a certificate working in that. And just working in it, I didn't get a degree in it, or so I got 2 more years to go on that.
Are you still going to try and go and finish that?
I'm at the stage where I don't know what I want to do right now. I'm just getting used to working 8 hours.
And when did you get this job that you have
now? I worked part time for 1 year, and I started full time last July. So this 1 year I've been working full time. And I tell you, that's a big change for me from being a housewife to working and coming back and be a housewife. So right now I don't know. I said I'm tired of working with kids. I want to go into something else. But then I don't know what. So then I enjoy working with kids. So I don't know.
How many kids do you have yourself?
I have three.
And how old are they?
6, 11, and 13. So I figured they were old enough to go back to where I find that role.
Well, with your kids, do you find them, what do you think is different about how they're reacting to, like, being a Seminole, and how maybe you felt about it being, growing up more in an isolated environment?
I think my kids have more advantage of being exposed to a lot of things. But I try to also teach them that whatever they see they can't get. There's some things they got to stop and think about it. They can't have say, I want this and get it, or want this and step back to buy it. They got to think about it and see, do I need this? What can I use it for? In all that state, and think about, you know, how they're going to spend their money, because it takes money. So I try to teach them that, and my son is terrible. He won't spend any money of his money. So my sister was telling me he's a Jew Indian. He said, you done that to him.
He knows about you.
Yeah, he's very.
Do you worry about at all about the influence of drugs or problems?
Yes,
like
I do.
Is that a big problem?
It was, but with these programs we have, I think it has improved. And that was another thing that I saw living in this community. There was nothing going for the kids in the community where they can go. So that was one thing I said I want to do as part of being a community. I want like to have something for the kids to go to. The kids had nothing to do, so what they just roam around, and they got in trouble. Some kids got in trouble just throwing rocks on the turnpike, going up there and just throwing rocks at them, you know. So actually there was really nothing going on. We can't reach all children, but I said, let's have a place for them, you know, for them to participate and to do something. And like I said, our scenes changed because we used to have a lot of teenage girls that used to just get drunk. And we had like maybe 5 girls pregnant end of the summer. And that has cut down on it. And I don't see the kids drinking and crying, you know, walking on the road and all that. There used to be a group that was like that. And I don't see that today. And I think that has really improved with some of the programs that we have, you know, developed or working at it. And there still may be going on, but like I said, I don't see it like I did before. And with the Seminole Police we got so far, the drug used to be really bad, but I think it has calmed down. It's not bad. It's not free as it used to be. That they said everywhere you go, you can just pick it up. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that I worry about. And then I sure didn't want my kids going out, you know. Mm-hmm. But then I said, well, I can't keep them locked up either. So I feel like it was up to us, the parents, to do something. So I feel like, you know, I'm doing a little bit of it, and I can do it some more, but, you know, I feel like that's part of our work. And I guess I'm strict. I don't let my sons go out after it gets dark. He has to stay in, or if he's going to go somewhere, I have to know where he's going with somebody. So I don't know how long would that be.
4.
15, 16, I don't know. Yeah. But anyway.
Do your kids know Miccosukee?
No. They did till they went to Head Start program, and they start using more English. And they understand just word. Since working with this program, I try to talk to them, but then I go back to English, and Billy and I go back to English, you know, so. But my youngest one, Carla, she knows more and understand more, but my other two. Like my 13, the kids that's 13, they said, oh, you know, they, like this, they go on field trip with us, but they're not that excited about it. And then the one that's kind of 89, they get really excited about it. So those are the ones that really, really focusing on it. But like my daughter, she's learning how to make designs this week. So she likes it. But the other older ones, they said, we can take it or leave it. And we don't try to force it on them. We want them to know that, you know, they feel free to come. They just even come and talk with us and do something maybe. So we try to, it's not a demand thing for them to do.
How are the crafts viewed by the young people? Do they see that as something that's part of their cultural identity, or do they see it as something that they can learn as a means of making money without that identity attachment? Or do they see it both ways?
I think they see it both ways. And like I was saying, some of our younger ones, like my son's teenager, they really don't care to wear jackets. I don't know why it is.
I was gonna ask you about that.
Uh-huh. Some don't want to wear it.
Yeah. Clothes to school.
Yeah. Or. Some doesn't want to wear it. Like my son, he doesn't wear them.
Hmm.
And but my other two kids wear them. So but I don't know why. I guess it makes him outstand or what. Mm-hmm. Oh, you were asking me about my son. I was worrying about him one time, and then he came home and told me that they took a test. And it said, which one are you? She said there was a white and a black person. You know, the test. I don't know what kind of test it was.
And
I
asked nothing about, else?
No, nothing else. And so he said that he chose the black because he has color in his skin.
Mm. And it's neither, but, really.
But when they evaluated, they would think he was a black person, I would think, you know. Because
yeah, well,
to me, he
test.
Told me, yeah, to me, he told me that he knows who he is, you know. He's not yeah. white, but he's an Indian, and he's all right, you know. And then he said the next one was, he gave three pictures. He said it was a white, a black, and a green person. How do you feel? How do you feel about yourself? So he said he picked the green color. Because he still got color. So I was laughing at him. I said, I would like to see what kind of that test was.
Uh-huh.
And I asked the principal. They said, oh, it was a test that wasn't worth giving or something. And so they don't give it anymore, he said. So I never did get a good answer.
I bet.
And then, and then my daughter almost got in trouble with this because I forgot who she was saying that, the class was saying that she favors somebody. And she didn't like it because she said, I'm not white and I don't like it. So she said, I'm not like her because I'm not white. She said that to the teacher. And the whole class, she said they were laughing because they said her face favored some girl, I guess. And so she said, I didn't like them laughing, telling them I look like when I'm not. So I told her, well, I know you're not, but you can't say those things sometimes in class. That will get you in trouble because they don't understand it sometimes. But he said when she said it to the teacher and to the student, he said, everybody quiet down.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him. But the teacher didn't write me a note home, but I told her, you know, she has to be careful. I said, you should be proud of what you are, but sometimes you don't say those things in public. You know.
It must be hard, though, especially with trying to get, you know, a sense of pride and identity, and
mm-hmm.
that there's still probably some tension racially,
mm-hmm.
just, you know, with being exposed. Well, especially at Immokalee, we were noticing.
Yeah.
Because you have the Hispanics and the blacks
uh-huh.
and the whites and the Native Americans. So you've
oh, yeah.
got four racial groups living really closely together,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, do they all get along real well together, or?
That's what Alpha said there in Mokley.
They seem
yeah, they
to.
Do, yeah.
Yeah, that's what she said. Oh, everybody works together. But in raising up in Closton, it was different, though.
Yeah.
Because, yes, they were, because when, like I was saying, that they didn't allow any Indian kids to go there. So I forgot what year we went. Let's see, maybe about 50, maybe it was in the 60s. But anyway, when we went, I feel like they picked on us Indian kids.
Mm.
And because a lot of the boys dropped out, and because they were picked on, and they said there were some things said to them, not just students, I'm talking about the teachers also.
Mm.
And then later, when the Cubans came, they start coming. They started on them, and they left us alone. And then, by the time I got out of Colston, the blacks start coming in, start integrating. So they started on them. So that left the Cubans. But what I saw, the Cubans picked on the black too. I couldn't believe that. You know, they went through it, you know. So that was the end of it. And they said they still prejudice the school. And then my husband taught there 1 year. And he got gray hair, so I guess it was...
Yeah.
He would say, I got my gray hair in Clemson High School.
Probably. Can't imagine.
Just working with the kids. But it's still like that. But a smaller town is like that. But here, it's all mixed.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe Malta would be like that. Mm-hmm. You know, all different kind of people. And that was another thing that I found out that when they said whites, I thought they were just all whites. But I found out it wasn't. It was Italians, Jews, and Irish and all that. They have different culture too. Mm-hmm. I found that out, you know.
So everybody thinks they're better than everybody else.
So I said, yeah, they got, you know. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I just didn't trust them for a long time. So.
Do you think there's a lot of intermarriage now? A lot of Indians marrying non-Indians?
We did, and then now we have the younger one marrying another tribe.
Oh.
Seems like we're going through that phase right now. Like a lot of the young kids go to boarding school. A lot of the boys.
Which boarding school?
They go to Utah and they go to Oklahoma.
Oh.
So it seems like the boys bring more girls home, another tribe. So it seems like there's more intermarriage that way.
Yeah.
And then we have more other tribe come down here also. So there's more intermarriage that way.
How many tribes do you think, I mean, what other kinds of tribes do you find here in Hollywood?
Mostly it's Creek, Oklahoma,
Creek.
Seminole Creeks, and they call themselves Oklahoma Seminoles. And then Navajos are the two tribes. And then we have Winnebagoes, and I don't know other tribes, but mostly it's Oklahoma Creeks and Seminoles.
Do their children come to your cultural program?
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm.
Is their culture similar, or is it very different? I mean,
I imagine they would be about the same. I don't know. But we do have, you know, like you say, we even have a visitor from Kansas that's from, you know, visiting her aunt down here, and he's been there. So he's enjoying beat work.
So the boys take to the crafts as well as the girls?
Yeah, we teach them how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
See,
that's
basically,
great.
They're not supposed to cook,
mm-hmm.
but we do. We teach them
Is
how to cook.
Is that because cooking was supposed to be a woman's skill?
Yes, woman's skill. But my daddy told me that they cook when they went hunting. So they need to know how to cook, know how to use knife and all that. So that's what we try to do, is get them to know how to use those knife and then cook. And even make, you know, the dough for fire bread. So we just work with both. And then that's what they asked, one elderly asked me, you gonna let the boys do? And I said, yes. What we tell them is that when you leave home, mama's not gonna be around to cook for you. And one boy said, well, my wife's gonna do it. And I said, well, listen, I said, you may not get married right away. And I said, what if your wife didn't know how to cook? I said, you gotta know how to do that, you know? So yeah, they said. So I said, you gotta know how to cook and take care of yourself, you know. So whatever they wanna do, we let them do it with us. So we don't say you can't do this and do that.
Do the Oklahoma Seminoles also do the patchwork?
No, just here, just Florida Seminoles. Unless they have learned it, you know, they probably make it now, but originally from here. And when you go up to Oklahoma, they always asking for you, you know, for the designs.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up there this summer also for a week, and that's what they asked us. You got some designs to sell?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I said no.
Have you ever had non-Indian people asking you to teach them basketry or patchwork?
Oh yes.
Do you?
Oh yes. Uh huh. Yeah.
Do you have any in this cultural program?
No.
That want to come? Oh, yeah.
Uh-uh. Even another tribal Seminole, we have asked me, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because that's the rule we got right now, is we can't sell the booklets.
Oh.
and we can't teach them unless I want to do it after my working hours at my home, you know. And but we can't sell or give out the materials.
What booklet do you basically use?
It's we have developed some booklets.
Oh, you have?
Yes, we have 16 now, I think, now.
And you do that right here?
Yeah, I do that right here, and then it's not really hardcover book, and it's just the copy machine that we use here.
Uh-huh.
And then, but we picked the commands. We were basically working with early childhood and Head Start, so simple commands like stand up, sit down, just commands like that. And in important places, we're talking about tribal office, school, church, beat.
And this is
like
in Miccosukee?
That. Yeah, it's all in Miccosukee.
What about the ones who speak Muskogee?
What we do is we use the same artists and we just exchange.
Oh,
and
I
they
see.
Just change the wording. And because we try to use our own people's drawings. So we have Mary Gill Osceola, Noah Billy, and all them, and Mary Frances Johns, and different.
They do all the illustrations.
Yes, So we decided to use it that way. And when I do the booklet, I work on it and finish it, and I have a language committee where I have a meeting with them, and we go over these words before I do it. So I don't do it all by myself on those words. I just
was the language ever written before?
No. It hasn't, and
so really, this is the first attempt the language.
Well, we have had Mr. West work with us or been with us recording and writing it using phonetical sounds, and that was a big thing that we decided also was that, how are we going to do this? Try to write, make our own alphabet, or go ahead and use the English alphabet, and we decided to go ahead and use the English alphabet. Because we don't have time to sit and make the others, that's we losing the language pretty fast. So we decided we'd just go and just use it. So I think we use 22 alphabets. And we do have one that we have made, which is a kind of L with a slash through it, which we have in our language that we don't use.
What's that?
It's like a
like that.
It's like a TH sound, but they're not really TH sound.
Uh-huh.
So we that stands for that sound, and we have lot of double E's, double A's, and so I do the writing, and I use Mr. West to help me out.
Who is Mr. West?
He's a linguistics, and he been with he used to live in Big Cypress, and I guess he been with us almost 25 years, I guess, and he lives in Fort Lauderdale.
What's his first name?
David West.
Patsy West's father?
No, they don't have any children. And then we have another one, Ben Williams out in Big Cypress. I don't know if y'all met him. He's been with us about 5 years now, and he's picking it up really good. So we have them because they the one that has training in phonetical sounds, and I don't have that kind of training. So I use them. He wants me to do the writing and write it down and everything, and then he will come and
check
review it with me. And so I use him as a consultant a lot. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Do you think eventually you'll try to do a dictionary?
Yes, we hope to. I have two notebooks that I have word that I have lists that I have collected so far, and I keep them. I call them that my dictionary. And go back over.
I'm curious, there's something about the language that really interests me. I know like the Eskimos have 27 different words for snow.
Uh-huh.
Because there's crunchy snow and sloppy snow and dirty snow and clean snow and new snow and old snow. Do you all have like several different words for, say if there was just one English word, but you all have many words that we don't have, you know, that
describe the same thing?
Yeah.
Well, the language we speak is describing something. So it's very long. We describe an object, and sometimes we just have a name for it. Like Kuti could be any frog.
Any frog?
In a kind of frog.
How do you say that?
Kote, K-O-T-E. And, but then to say what kind of frog, we would say Kote Chombe, that's the big frog. I don't know the English name, you know, we go into...
Like a bullfrog, like, what we would call it.
Yeah. And another thing I find out that we don't group things, like when we're talking about shapes in English, we're talking about the rectangle and triangle and all that, we don't have a word to group that.
We like say, shape, you don't have the word shape.
When we think, yeah. When we say the English shape, we're talking about the circle, the triangle, and rectangle, right? Well, we say shape in our language, we're just talking about just one shape, maybe the circle. Because we have a word for circle two ways, one that's around like a ball, mm-hmm. and one that's flat, like that flat circle. Mm-hmm. We're talking about it, you know, a different way. And then sometimes, even for word for color, we don't have a word for color. So we say like the English words that we just say kale, K-A-L-A, kale, yeah, with E.
So that would have been a word that actually you've taken from your early contact with English, and it's now part of the, really you use it with your Miccosukee
mm-hmm.
language.
Yeah.
Which we do in English too. I mean, you borrow words. Uh-huh. We've borrowed words from almost every language in the world.
Yeah, like kawaii, we borrowed that word from Spanish. Kawaii, horse.
Oh, yeah.
Caballo in it.
Uh-huh.
And we say kawaii. So we borrow, you know, words like that. But we do have names for color, like kitisihatwe means red and white makes pink. So we have a name for our colors, though. But not as a group.
Yeah.
And we have Lot Lagne, it means black and yellow. I think that makes brown, I think now. So we mix those two colors. So when I do teach the kids color, I go as far as having them mix the color and seeing
the
two.
See what, yeah.